some wonderful, great teachers lined up for the month of September. Amen. And I'm not referring to myself. I'm referring to my brothers. Amen. And they're going to be addressing some of the issues with young believers. Actually, it's the issues with God. And I kind of have a hard time saying that because I can't imagine anybody having issues with God. But you will understand as it unfolds. Amen. Amen. Some questions that they have about Christianity, faith, and the scriptures. Amen. But I'm going to kick it off today with the authority of the scriptures. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and begin. Amen. A 2001 survey conducted by the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University resulted in some very shocking statistics about the attitudes of millennials in America. Millennials that are identified in this survey were born between the years of 1984 and 2002. The results of the survey indicated that 43% of the millennials either don't know, don't care, or don't believe that God exists. And less than half, 48%, holds on, less than and 48% hold on to the golden rule of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Only 48%. And 4 out of 10 agree with the revenge factor, getting them before they get you. And if they do you wrong, you get even. Amen. So with that information, what should we as a body of Christ do with that information? Amen. I'm glad you asked the question. And we're going to address that. 1 Peter 3 and 15 says, 1 Peter 3, 15, but in your heart, sanctify the Lord, Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give a defense to anyone that asks you why the reasons that you have hope. Amen. But do it in a gentle and respectful way. Amen. They have questions. They want answers. And in many cases, they don't get answers. That's why they're so confused. Amen. We as the church today, we have got to get back to what the true church has always done throughout history. And that is believe and obey the word of God. And I believe that in a lot of ways, we have watered down the gospel so much to appease the younger generation, our political buddies, our friends. And in many ways, we have appeased those who have alternative views of the scripture. And with that, they have subtly convinced us to really just kind of conform to the way things are. You know? Well, you know, we don't believe that anymore. We're evolving. No, the word is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. Amen. They don't know what the millennials don't really know what to think about what's going on, and they become confused because in many ways the body of Christ have become wishy-washy, you know, convinced of alternative views. Amen. We have to share with them what God has displayed towards them and towards us. In Romans 5 and 8, which is one of our base scriptures for this series, but God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Amen. And also, we're going to have to recognize the authority of the scriptures and get back to what God told us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not conform to this world, But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and an acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we've got to get to. That's what we've got to get back to and hold on to. Because if we're not stable, what do we expect for them to do? Amen. And the only way that our millennials are going to get back on track is if that we start demonstrating truth. Amen. And we talked about truth last week. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And no man comes to the Father except by me. Until we start demonstrating the truth, they're going to be confused. Amen. And we have it on our sign out here again, Romans chapter 8, verse 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If we, the church, conform, what do we expect from them? Amen. It's going to cause them to think it's okay to fall right in line with what the world is doing. You know, the world is doing this. We have evolved. We are going in this direction. So why not fall right in line with them? We need to know and remember that the authority of the scriptures gives us the right to stand. To stand on the word. Amen. And contend for the faith. Jude told us in chapter 1, verse 3. Beloved, while I am very diligent to write to you concerning common salvation, I found it necessary to exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. And I can imagine that, you know, what was going on back then, what's going on now was probably some of those things were going on back then. And Jude said, look, folks, come on. Let's contend for the faith. Let's stand on what we know is right, what we know God has told us to do. Contend for the faith. Just don't be so passive and let things go. Let's stand up. Yeah, let's stand up for the word. Amen. We need the unwatered down version of the word of God because it is the only infallible revelation that we have from God to build the proper worldview and to give us truth that will set us free and that will keep us free. Amen. The word of God is the only thing that we've got. It's the only thing that we've got. Now, the world says, oh, there's plenty options that we have. There's plenty views. Everybody's got their own view. Everybody can do their own thing. No. Let me just say, no. The word of God is our guideline. It is our platform. It is the thing that we have that will set us free, that will keep us free, and give us the direction. You know, here in South Carolina, we have certain laws that were created by state representatives that we got to follow. And those laws, those who refuse to follow those laws and those who refuse to follow those guidelines are subject to fines. They're subject to probations. They're subject to imprisonment. But to follow those laws, it results in the enjoyment of our freedom. We can get up in the morning, go to work, go to McDonald's, get us some coffee, do whatever we want to do. But if you refuse to follow those laws, you won't have those opportunities. Following those laws will give us the ability to keep our hard-earned money in our pocket. We don't have to pay fines. Give it to the state. We keep it in our own pocket. And following those signs, we don't have to have that periodic date, possibly, with a parole officer. Amen? Amen. So in the same way, it goes the same way with the authority of the scriptures and the authority of God. God himself has given us scriptures from his holy word to live by. And it is the most powerful force on earth. How many of you believe that? I believe that. His word is the most powerful force on earth. And following the authority of the scriptures will result in our continued liberation from the oppressor. That doesn't mean that we won't go through some things. That don't mean we won't go have some issues. But it means that God will always be with us in the midst of our storms. He has the capacity to give us joy. He has the capacity to give us peace. Amen. Amen. And Jesus said, don't worry about it when you go through these issues. Don't worry about it when you go through these troubles in life. Don't worry about these things that seem to be overtaking everything. He said, because I have overcome the world. He said, I've overcome the world. Amen. Hebrews 4 and 2 says, so this is what we can take from the authority of the scripture. Amen. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, for the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any two-double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, to the joint and the marrow, and it judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is inspired by God. It is useful to teach us what is true and what makes us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us what to do right. Amen? Amen. So the word of God is all we have, and it is active and it's powerful. Amen. Amen. And I believe that when millennials see us, I believe that when millennials become confused, unsure, and having the inability to care about what happened to others, it's because they've been challenged by their peers to see things in alternative lights. Amen. And instead of standing firm on what they've heard, probably when they was a child, when they grew up, and I'd like to think that most children have always had the opportunity to go to Bible school and to have children's church, and where they've learned the things of God. And I believe that when they've heard those things and when they see what's going on now, they do become confused. Amen. Amen. But instead of standing on the word of God and what they've been taught and what they've heard, instead of trusting the word of God, they start to reflect on things that they hear outside of that. Amen. The authority of God's word is what we talked about last week. It holds this whole thing together. And when they become confused and when they become challenged, I believe that millennials become even more confused. It is our responsibility to make sure that we give them truth and we give them the word, and that we actually demonstrate what it is that the word, the authority of the word is, and what it means. Amen. It is impossible to please God without faith. Now, when we get the word, we have the word, when we pray to God and we trust and we stand on the word, things don't always happen right when we want them to. Amen. Things don't always happen in the timing that we would like. But a true believer, a person whose heart has really been truly changed, will take the word of God regardless of their circumstance. Amen. Amen. It's impossible to please God without having faith in him, without trusting in him, without standing on that word. And as we study the word, let us ask God for clarity. Let us ask him for clarity, for revelation. And when it doesn't come immediately, when it doesn't show up the way that we pray about it, look, just be honest with him. Say, Lord, I don't really understand what you're saying. I don't really understand what this is saying, but I believe you. I believe your word. I trust your word. Amen. Amen. And I believe that the authority of God's word, when we be honest with God and tell him that, I truly, honestly believe at the proper time, God will give us answers. He will give us revelation. And I believe that things that that need to be changed, God will change them. Amen. Amen. And I believe that when millennials and when those people who have doubts see the body of Christ standing on the word, regardless of what's going on, regardless of those alternative views, when they see the body of Christ standing, amen, they're going to say, well, I believe that. I believe that God has given them revelation, but they don't so much trust us when we start being wishy-washy. Amen. And I can't help but, you know, when I was studying this, thinking about Job. Now, Job didn't really know what was going on. God didn't really prompt Job when he told Satan, said, Satan, listen, have you considered, you know, Satan was going up and down throughout the earth to see, you know, who he could deceive, who he could devour. And God said, have you considered my man Job? He's an upright man. And Satan says, well, you know, well, God, he's not going to do anything. I can't do anything to him. You got a hedge around him. Well, God said, look, I'm going to let you go do what you think you can do. But just don't touch his life. You do whatever you think you want to do. And Job had the fury of the enemy unleashed on him. But God, you know, Job knew God. He trusted God. He believed God. Amen. And regardless of what happened, you know, I know that Job had a hard time. The Bible tells us he did. He went through some very hard stuff. Stuff that you know, we probably haven't even experienced. But he went through some things. He had some issues. And through all the things that he went through, even his wife told him, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, you sound like a stupid woman. He said, I trust God. And you know, he didn't know if God was going to deliver him out of it or not. He just knew he was going through some things, but he trusted God. And he believed God. And he stood on the authority of what he knew was God. Amen. He stood there. And I would like to, I pray that no matter what situation I find myself in, I would like to believe and I pray to God that I can be like Job, that even when I quote his scripture and things don't look like what the scripture said, and when things don't look like what God promised, I would like to believe that I will stand and say, God, I don't understand it, but I trust you. I trust you in all of it. Amen. I trust you, God. And whether, I mean, and I, and also reminds me of the Hebrew boys who said, look, you know, we have one God. The only true and living God. And King, it doesn't matter if you throw us in this furnace or not. It doesn't matter. We're still going to trust God. We're still going to believe God. But in the very act of them being thrown in the fiery furnace, God was in there with them. Amen. And he kept them throughout what could have been a very tragic situation. Simply because, and it wasn't that the situation was not there. It wasn't that the situation was not a dire situation, but on their behalf, it was because they trusted God. They believed God. Amen. And they stood on his word. Amen. And I remember reading the scripture where, you know, when Jesus was crucified, and he was killed and hung on the cross, and they put him in the tomb. And 3 days later, Jesus showed up, and some of them had gone to the tomb to see Jesus, or to put out flowers or whatever they were going to do. And they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and they discovered that Jesus was gone. So they ran back to tell the other disciples who were there waiting, look, Jesus is gone. He's not there. He's not there. He's risen. And somebody said, he is risen from the dead. And so Thomas, I mean, I'm just trying to paraphrase and make this as short as I can. But Thomas said, look, I won't believe it until I actually see the nail prints in his hands. I won't believe it. So after a while, Jesus showed up. And Thomas was like, oh, who is this? Jesus said, Thomas, look right here. Check it out. You see the prints in my hands? It's me. He said, Thomas, you see the prints in my hand and you believe. He said, but blessed are those who have not seen, but yet they believe. Yet they trust me. And I like, you know, I'm like this. I read the scriptures and I read what God says in his word. You know, I wasn't there at Calvary. I wasn't there. I didn't see it happen. I didn't see him taking those stripes on his back for my healing. I didn't see that happen. You know what? But I believe it happened. I believe it. I believe it. And I trust him. And when God gives me his word, the authority of God's word is so powerful to me that I, even if I don't even see it taking place, if I don't see it in action, I still trust God and believe. God, you said it. I believe it. And I'm standing on it. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. I trust your word, Lord. I trust your word. Amen. And I prayed. Let me tell you something. I'm just be real with you. I prayed and I've asked God for certain things not to happen, for certain things to happen, and for certain things to go a certain way, and they didn't happen. They didn't happen. But I still trust and believe that at the proper time, whether it's here or beyond, God is going to give me the revelation of why it didn't happen in my timing, or why it didn't happen a certain way that I prayed about it. I believe that God is going to show me. He's going to give me the revelation. Jerry, I know you didn't understand it then, but check this out. I'm going to look at that situation and thank you, God. Lord, you were protecting me when I didn't even understand. I wanted something that I didn't even understand what I was asking for. I thought it was best for me, but you knew. You knew what was best for me. I trust the authority of your word. Hallelujah. And because of that, it doesn't matter. Those things that I asked for that didn't happen, they made me cry. They made my heart sad. They made me upset. They made me feel bad, but I trust God in all of it, every ounce of it. And until the body of Christ get back to looking at God's word, trusting God's word, and letting the millennials and everybody else know that God is faithful to his word. Until we start doing that and stop conforming and stop going, relying on our circumstances and our situations, until we do that, they're going to be confused. But I believe and I trust that the people here in this church, the people that who are involved with this church in any way, the people who are coming to this church are folks who are going to be solid in the word, who are going to be solid on what God says, solid on the authority of the word of God, and going to trust him throughout everything he says. Amen. And if you trust God and you believe God is a man of his word, come on, I want you to give him a praise. Amen. 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 Come on, stand on your feet. Oh, I'm done. I'm done. Hallelujah. Amen. As Brother Lawrence plays, I want to share with you one last thing here. As I was studying, as I was reading some articles, there was the author was speaking about this Muslim who asked a Christian. He says, "The God that you worship," he said, "does he punish those who don't understand the scriptures?" And he said, he said, "No, I don't believe that he punished those who don't understand." But he said, "The punishment comes in the unbelief. The punishment comes in the unbelief." And as I spoke before, it's impossible to please him. It's impossible to please him without trusting and believing his word. And he said in the scripture, "Let no man think that he will receive anything if he doubts." So you don't have to understand it all. You don't even have to see it happening. You may never see it happen. But trust and believe God that he will reveal it at the proper time. Trust him and believe him. And if there's somebody out there this morning who's saying, "Well, really, I'm confused about all of this. You know, what the scripture says, and I don't really understand it." Well, this is your perfect moment to just lift your eyes right now to him and say, "Lord, I don't understand it, but I believe and I trust in you. And I know that you are going to reveal it at the proper time." And you may not know Jesus Christ is your Lord and personal Savior, but I want to give you this opportunity. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. With the heart, we believe, and with our mouth, confession is made to salvation. And when you make that decision, you're sealed. You're sealed by the promise of God that you are saved. So I want you to repeat after me. Father, I thank you for who you are and for what you gave to us. You gave us your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to be our Savior. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you raised him from the dead so that he could give us the victory that you intended for us to have. I believe in my heart that God, Jesus, died for my sins, and I receive him now as my Savior. And Lord, I give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Come on, I want you to clap your hands for those who made that decision this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.